Welcome to Trailblazers, where we explore the inspiring journeys of entrepreneurs and industry leaders who are redefining success and making a lasting impact. These game changers are driving progress in our region and around the world. Thanks for joining us on Trailblazers. I'm Melody Bradford, your host. Today's guest isn't just a leader, he's a builder, a promoter, a connector, and in many ways the voice and energy behind one of the most remarkable regional success stories in the country. As president and CEO of the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce, Tony Iannelli hasn't just grown an organization, he's transformed it into a movement championing innovation, collaboration, and regional identity while helping redefine what's possible in the Lehigh Valley and positioning it as one of the most exciting economic stories in the nation. But what truly sets Tony apart is this. He doesn't lead quietly. He leads with presence, with passion, with personality, with a level of showmanship that turns business into something people feel. And today we're going beyond the title into the mindset, the energy, and the story behind it all. Tony, welcome to Trailblazers.
Wow, after that intro, thank you. It's great to be here.
So when people hear the name Tony Iannelli, there's an immediate association with energy and presence and impact. Mm-hmm. What do you want people to feel when they experience you, and how intentional have you been about building that presence?
I haven't been intentional about anything, to tell you the truth. It just all happens. I'm blessed to be here. I don't even know how I got here. We had a family business when I was a child, and when I was a senior, in high school, my father, he lost his business. He was a hard worker, but I don't want to go into that. He lost his house. We lost everything. So I never went to school. I don't have a degree. I really love people. I love being around people all the time, and I love what I do. So probably energy was the one thing maybe that got me here. It wasn't brilliance, so it was maybe energy.
Well, there's definitely a secret sauce to what you do, for sure. What was your path leading up to the chamber, and when did you realize you had a knack for not just leadership, but for connecting with people on a larger stage?
You know, I was thinking about that the other day. I was thinking I didn't really have a path. My hat path, it was crazy. I mean, my first job was at Mack Truck on the assembly line, and I had a supervisor come up to me and say, because I talked all the time on the assembly line, I had a job to do. And he said, you should go get a job using your mouth instead of your hands. So then I went into real estate and sold real estate for about 8 years. I enjoyed that. And all of a sudden, I actually won the Realtor of the Year award. And on the way home, I thought, I don't want to do this anymore. I just don't. So I got involved in the downtown Allentown. I worked for the Allentown Economic Development. Oh. And then I started my own. The reason they hired me at the Chamber is I had both public and private. I had my own business, and I also worked for the Economic Development Corporation and a business improvement district. So I knew both public and private sector.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so the opportunity that led to the Chamber, that's how it came about. Yeah. What made you confident that you could take it to another level?
I don't know. I have a weird they're almost like two people. I have externally, I'm not confident. When you make the introduction, I don't even know who that is. So I have to sometimes absorb that. Okay, yeah, that is. But it doesn't last long. So I have very mercurial self-confidence, but except when it's like competitive or go time. And for some reason, I just felt like I didn't feel it right away when I got here. We were a very small chamber. We merged, 18 chambers together. But when I got here, I thought, I don't know. I always kiddingly say, I wondered when are they going to fire me, which they never did. So it just turned out it was really, again, about people. And I connected with so many people at the, top in terms of board and mm-hmm. employees.
And, so you had said that you were at Allentown Economic Development. Mm-hmm. What keeps you energized about chamber work and economic development? Like, what made you decide you wanted to get into that? Because I know when I went to LVEDC, Don Cunningham had asked me in the interview, he said to me, well, why do you want to work here? And I says, I love the Lehigh Valley, right? So, but what took you from, Mack Trucks, real estate, and then AEDC? Like, what keeps you energized? And
I think I just love the community and being part of the community. Before I came to the chamber, I had a commercial cleaning business. And it was a great business. Mm. And I woke up one day and I thought, is this it? I mean, and it was good. It was lucrative. I was mm-hmm. making money. But it wasn't enough. And I love rebuilding are being part of a community and rebuilding it, you know, meeting people like yourself and all these leaders around the valley that, and I think also we've had a great run. So, I mean, I was here in the 80s, and it wasn't so wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know, they say late 80s, even early 90s. And
tough transitional time.
Yeah. And, you know, Bethlehem Steel closing down, and Mack Truck had moved away. And it was really, really a hard time. And all of a sudden, we got this, we started to bloom, you know, and we're at a spot we always have work to do, but we're at a spot I never dreamed we'd be in.
You know, you've become one of the biggest champions for the Lehigh Valley. What makes this region so special for you?
I think because we always say that, we used to love to say that, well, we're so parochial, but it's probably just the opposite. Maybe I see it as a chamber that we all came together. But I see now that people are, you know, we realize it's the valley and we're treating it as the valley. And I still think we have a lot of really good values. I think there's a lot of good leaders here, a lot of companies that are willing to reinvest, a lot of creative, brilliant people, you know, that created Music Fest I don't know, all the things that we have, the ballparks, the PPL mm-hmm. Center, the Phantom. So it's just an exciting place because, and maybe for me, because I lived in the time when it wasn't going so well. And now I'm really enjoying this, you know, this what happens every day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember I was sitting out front here and I was looking over at the Wendy's, and I thought, I remember when it was exciting when we would get, like, you know, Wendy's or McDonald's, and so that meant that we were sort of, you know, regionalized, never to the point that we are now. We have everything, every restaurant you want for the most part.
Yeah.
A couple to go. There's some things people would still want to see here, but generally you pick a food type, we have it, and high quality.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I think we're widely sought after. I mean, I was at the annual meeting for LVDC mm-hmm. recently, and they were talking about how, you know, we rate number one mm-hmm. in the country for middle markets, yeah. You know, so that's saying something. How would you define your leadership style, and how much of it is intentional versus just who you are naturally?
Well, that's a great question. I think a lot of it is who I am naturally. When I think of my leadership style, I mean, I really think the chamber. If I do it specific to the chamber, I think, I don't want to say delegator, but I just have really good people, and I know what I can do, and I know what they can do. And they can do a lot of things a lot better than I can do. So it's a team. But I think as a leader, and I think I'm more prone to be, I would say, more of an easier style leadership. But I feel that if we always say we're search for excellence, not perfection. Perfection means you won't take any chances. So, but I'm on, you know, if we have an event, I know what sound should be, which would be better, if the food should be better, if the light should be better. So I want us to be good. And if I'm everyone's best friend and we're not good, that's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if I'm an autocrat and a jerk, that's not a good thing either. So somewhere in between.
Well, you're known for your larger-than-life personality, your energy, your presence, the socks, and the showmanship you bring to leadership. Where does that come from, and how intentional is it? And why is that approach so important, and how has it helped you grow the chamber?
Again, I don't know how things happen to me. I'm just blessed, I would say. I'm a middle child of seven kids, a crazy family, Italian father, Irish mom. I don't know. We had all these relatives around, so I was always around people. And I don't know. I just developed when I got here, I knew that I had to, you know, I had work to do. And then as we got bigger and bigger, I don't know. It's just things happened. I started with the, you know, the bow tie thing, which is kind of different. You know, not everybody loves it, but it was my shtick. And then my friends at C. Roth are sponsors of my TV show. Mm-hmm. So they give me, I have about, you know, I used to have maybe two suits. Now I have about 12 suits. And so it's fun. I like to dress. I like to pick colors. I'm pretty good at it.
You're definitely dapper.
Thank you. Yeah, and that's something I enjoy. So I'm just at a point where with our size and the amount of events that we have, it's fun. I feel like my job now is to run a good organization, but everything I can do to lift us up, lift the valley up, and make us realize how far we come and how good we are.
Well, you definitely make it exciting and fun, that's yeah. for sure. Anytime I come to any of the chamber events, I'm like, okay, this is exciting. Like I'm walking in and I'm taking, you know, a video of the band, you know, in their kilts. It's cool. Yeah. It's really cool. If your team were describing you, what do you think they'd say it's like to work with you?
I don't know. I think they would say, I think the 80%, I think they feel like I'm loyal to them. And so I think they feel secure, and I think they feel that I care about them. But I also think that they know that when you need leadership, I'll lead, you know. So back to that 80-20, I would say. 80%, good guy, energetic, we're going to work together, cares about us. You have to care about people. I say, too, you have to look at a company, how they hire, but how they separate from people. And almost every person we've separated from, we're good friends with. They still come to events. And so people deserve opportunity, and we applaud that. So,
Yeah. The chamber has grown tremendously under your leadership. How large is the chamber today, and what kind of reach does it have? And what have been the key drivers behind that expansion, do you think?
I would say that was really the volunteer leadership that we – I don't even know how that happened. I got here. We were the Allentown, Lehigh County Chamber. We had one office in Allentown. Mm. And then we partnered with some smaller organization, Western Lehigh, East Penn, Southern Lehigh Chamber. Chambers are business groups that were, and then we started to grow. And then thanks to people like Ann Baum, we partnered with the Bethlehem Chamber, then ultimately partnered with the Easton Chamber. So it just kept expanding because people demanded regionalism, and we were just, I had a friend of mine, he used to call us, he didn't want a partner, and he used to say we were born again regionalizers. So we were obsessed with it, and we just kept marching along until we had this, we say the sixth largest chamber, it could be five, it could be seven. We haven't recently maybe audited, if you will, but it's a big organization. It goes everywhere. If you say from Emmaus all the way up to Poconos, or from Hellertown all the way up to Carbon County. So it's a big geographic. And then we have our diversity councils, you know, mm-hmm. I think we're as much a chamber of communities as we are a chamber of commerce. So we're a business organization, but we want to be involved in communities.
So how many employees do you have now? Do you know that offhand?
33.
Yeah. And how many members do you know that?
Yeah, I would say probably 4,300.
Wow.
4,500, yeah.
Wow. And you said about the sixth largest in the nation.
Yep.
Wow, that's incredible. Beyond your role, you've built a strong personal presence. How do you think about diversifying yourself as a leader and as a brand? I mean, you have a Business Matters, which is your television show, and you know you do other things. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about that and how you build yourself as a brand.
I guess I'll try pretty much anything, so I do have Business Matters, thankfully. I'm on iHeartRadio, and I do a column for the Morning Call, the local paper. I don't know. I just try to – I think we have such good, talented people that are doing operational – they know the real work. I feel like I want us to be present as much as we can. I want us to be visible as much as we can. We're no different – you know, we have a large group and a large budget, so we have to find $5.5 million every year, and we don't get public funding, so we have to hustle it, you know. So I guess what I feel like is for me to be out there. If you ask, for instance, this show, you know, I want to do it. I want to be plus I'm interested. I want to hear what you have to say.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, no, I mean, I think I love this kind of thing. I love the dialogue, you know.
How important has collaboration and mentorship been for you, not just in your success, but in the chamber's success? I've seen several of your employees rise through the ranks. Talk to me a little bit about how that happens and why that's so important.
Yeah, we kind of all grew together. We have a group, we kiddingly call it the Bigs, and it's the top six people, Frank Boschano, Danielle Joseph, Jessica O'Donnell, Allison Pickle, Dawn, our finance person, Gina. So we have this core group, Lori, my executive assistant. We have this core group that have grown together through this whole thing. So they're amazing. And so we know each other now really well. And we know when you know each other too well, though, you have to push each other. We have to keep in the 21st century. You evolve or you're done. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got to evolve constantly. So we're constantly thinking, what can we do better? What else can we do? So I think that's part of it. And and I did have some great mentors. I had some great board chairs. Every 2 years, I have a chairperson of my board, a chairman, chairwoman, chairperson. Oh, wow. And but I've had a lot of really, really good ones. So Lori Hackett right now from Air Products is our chair. Before that, Tom Groves, Buddy Les Savoy, Ann Baum, Barry Fisher from WFMZ. So we've had a lot of, I've had a lot of really good private sector leadership that stepped up on my board. I learned a lot from them.
Any sage advice that has really been instrumental or was key in your overall success or throughout your career?
Yeah, I guess for me, I mean, my advice is that, you know, everybody has our ups and downs. We really do. And I would say two things: to somehow work through those and talk to people. I mean, it's hard today. It's a struggle for people. We have a great time, but it's also, you know, you have to be quick on your feet. You have to be learned. You have to know what's going on today. And sometimes that's taxing. You work a lot of hours, and if you have a family or whatever. So my biggest advice is connect with people. Be surprised how many people that you think maybe don't have time for you really care, because they have their own story, and they want to give back to somebody, because they see themselves in people that, you know, that are climbing to the top or struggling, you know, in their professional life or in their personal life. So
yeah. Have you ever encountered a challenge that was tough to overcome, and how did that shape you?
Well, I've had a couple personal challenges that really rocked me. but that's what made me stronger, really. I never realized how I don't want to say weak, but I went through a couple of things in life. And one, the first one I talked about, when you lose everything, you get kicked out of your home and your kids basically, you know, scattered to different places. That probably was the biggest motivator. I think that made me dedicated, committed to, that's not happening again on my watch, mm-hmm. not to my family. So I felt this need to sort of pick up and my entire family, in a sense, you know, to show that, look, we're strong and we're going to do well. So my advice, or what my issues, I've had them. I've had, you know, points in my life where I thought I'm never going to get through this, and I did.
You've used that to motivate you.
Yeah, that
like.
Was for me. You know, some people ride through life and have great life lessons or whatever, yeah. and don't have that. I came from a large, great family, but they were crazy. We were wild, and I had to learn some things the hard way. So,
mm-hmm. On a more personal level, what was your life outside of work? What has that taught you about leadership, relationships, and balance? I mean, you are full throttle. I mean, you are at almost every event that I go to. I see you, you know, and you show up with a presence, and you're involved and engaged, not just the chamber events. You know, you're involved in other community mm-hmm. stuff. How do you maintain balance, and what does that
Well,
you?
I always tell my daughters I didn't, and I could have done much better for them. And I was a single dad I was co-parenting, but it was a lot of work, you know, with my daughters. And they're the greatest kids. They're incredible. 10 times better than I ever dreamed that they would be, and 10 times better than I ever would have been. I want to be the security of the provider. So I wish, like maybe all of us, maybe I have more time for them, but then at the same time, I want to make sure if they need me, I'm there. I have a great family. I'm really blessed, and my wife's incredible. Wendy's like a perfect match for me. Mm. So took a couple of tries, but she's perfect.
She helps with the balance too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a lot.
Tony, what does success mean to you now, and how has that evolved over time?
I think when you get, depending on what, you know, some people, how do you describe success? Is it financial? So I guess for me, it's partly financial. You built something that, you know, you started with nothing. I mean, I started with nothing, negative nothing. And so you built something. But I'm not a big, like right now, my birthday, my kids, I said, please don't get me anything. I got whatever I want. Give them the money. I don't need the money. Mm-hmm. So yeah, look, some financial stability, that's wonderful. Although when you have the brain that I have, I'm always paranoid. My wife calls me Paratony. So I always got something I'm concerned or worried about. So some financial success, but I think I look around sometimes. Tomorrow's, ironically, is my birthday.
Oh, so happy birthday.
Thank you. So I'll have my daughters, my grandkids, my sisters, my brother, we'll have something at my house. So family, I'm really, in the end, family's by far the most important thing to me. So, I mean, again, I love people, but it's when it really, in the end, it's that's That's what it's all about for me, family. I mean, that's a, everyone says that. That's, you know, that's what it's all about family. But it really is. I don't know how everybody turned out as great as they have, but I'm thankful for that.
Yeah. If you could give your younger self advice and today's emerging leaders advice, what would it be?
My younger self would be, I would have studied a little more, been a little more academically involved, you know, so I lucked out with that. But I think maybe just dream. I mean, for me, I think I always dreamed something, and then somehow that dream many times turns into a reality. So it's not bad to dream. And so I think being a dreamer, and then of course you have to apply yourself, but I think if you're a hard worker and you dream and you try to get to whatever that mountain is, in a mountaintop, a lot of times you'll get there. It's just that it's not easy to get to the top. You know, you're going to go through some challenges.
How important do you think risk is for leaders today? And how important has it been, or pivotal has it been for you over the course of your career?
Oh, that's a good question. I think, well, you always hear this, calculated risk. But I do think you have to be, we've taken risk, I've taken risk. So I think risk, I'm not, having lost everything as a child, you know, at that point, I talked to you about that point, you tend to be a little risk averse, you know, don't want to go through that again. But I think risk is, you got to go for it sometimes. And I've done that. I've done that several times where I've just said, look, I feel good about this. I'm not positive, but I feel good, and I'm going to jump in and do it. So.
Mm-hmm. And what keeps you up at night these days?
Everything. No. the good news is I sleep pretty well, but during the day, generally I wouldn't say a worrier, but I got a lot of stuff on. I got a busy mind, and it's usually not busy. You know, dreaming wonderful things per se. I tend to, what's the next hurdle I have to jump? How do I keep the chambers solid? How do I keep economics out? How do I keep us relevant? Who's doing better? You know, I got an active brain.
Do you have any regrets?
No, I don't think, I've been too blessed to have regrets. I really don't. I think, I wish I would have gone to college. We were just talking about the other day, we were somewhere, I forget, at one of the schools. And I said, you know, I think I would have had fun. That would have been a good thing for me. But that's not a regret. Would college have been better than the assembly line at Mack Truck? Yes. But it got me where I am. So I really don't. I am so thankful and so blessed that I would be I'd be a bad person if I had regrets.
Yeah. Well, and maybe someone listening pulls on the sphere of influence, but somebody that leads a college, and maybe we can get you an honorary degree there.
Yeah. That would be cool.
What are you most excited about as you look towards the future for the chamber?
Right now, I'm really excited that we've sort of hit a spot where, you know, we have events, as you know, a lot of events. So our event that we have is now is sold out or doing. So I'm really excited about where we are. And I think that's because the world evolves so quickly today, and you can become irrelevant quickly. So I like our relevance. I really am excited about that. I'm excited about the leadership that's around me both. And I'm excited about making the volunteer leadership younger and diverse. Mm-hmm. And because I think that's part of the evolution. You know, sometimes as a chamber president, you can go into a town and connect with five or six, you know, big leaders, if you will, or movers and shakers, as they say. And that never worked for me. We have a lot of new faces in big leadership roles. That'll be the future of the chamber. So I'm excited about setting that up before I leave.
Yeah. And who or what would you say inspires you?
Wow. That's I just think generally people inspire me, just being around people. You know, when I go to, and they lift me up so often. You know, today I could have came up here and somebody walked by and said, nice suit, or you look nice, or that energizes me. I need that, you know, I need that attention. I always say a middle child of seven, so it's attention, I'm all in. I think just people generally, the community inspires me. You know, that what we're, like you're doing this, you're doing a radio, you have a job, you work, you know, we're all kind of an inspiration to me. And when I speak sometimes, I look over the crowd, and, you know, many of our events typically are 700, 800 people, and I see all these, while I'm speaking, all these faces that I know, that I don't know their total journey, but I know they had one, you know, and in a sense, we're all here, Lehigh Valley, we're all here together. Somehow we got here, you know.
Yeah. So. And, you know, so this show is called Trailblazers. What do you think defines a true trailblazer?
For me, my style, for some reason, I don't ever want to be perceived as arrogant or I want to lift. I have this thing. It's when I leave someone, I hope that they feel better. Mm-hmm. You know, if we have a server and I'm at an event and I feel like they came up to me and said, "Oh, I watch your show," and I didn't give them enough time, I think, "Oh my God, they think I'm, you know, did I make them feel bad? That I what we call big time them." So, anyway, what's a trailblazer? I think a trailblazer is someone that just has a vision. And I think for me it was a regional chamber, and is relentless, just won't stop. But at the same, for me, it's also building partners in that. You know, it's one thing to just go full speed ahead and not bring people with you. I feel what I like and what we did is we brought a lot of leadership, a lot mm-hmm. of the community with us. You know, it wasn't just that we were autocrats, and it was the way we say the chamber is very bottom up, because we went into smaller communities and we said, if we do it right, can we partner with your chamber? So whether it's Hellertown or Emmaus or Slatington, then you have to live up to that, you know. So we've had these partnerships for, I'm here 29 years, so mm-hmm. and we haven't lost one. So if you're not delivering, so maybe the Trailblazer has a vision, in my mind, brings people, builds a coalition to accomplish the mission, and then tries to the best of their ability to live up to what they said they would do.
Any retirement plans, Tony? Or,
well, you know, it's funny. I see people. I go to Florida a fair amount. I mean, just for 3 or 4 days, and I see people playing pickleball, and it looks fun, but it's just not me yet. I love what I do, and I don't want to stop. There'll come a time when I should just get out of the way. So I would say, I don't know. Maybe that's 2 or 3 years. You know, I would say probably. Would be enough. It'll be enough, I think, for the organization to have someone new. It won't be enough for me. I would stay another 40 years, you know. But at some point, you get out of the way and you let some younger leader come in and let them take over and shape the next generation of the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, we'll have an opportunity to have you back on the show at that point, and you can give us that exclusive announcement.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
And what are you most proud of?
Wow. I mean, I don't want to get emotional, but I would say my family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, I have two daughters and grandkids that are wonderful. And you know, at some point in my life, 20, 30 years ago, you know, we got divorced. And I didn't know where that was going to go, how the impact they turned out to be. Everyone landed on their feet in a great way, and everyone's happy. But so I'm really proud of them. They're incredible.
Tony, what makes this conversation so powerful isn't just what you've built, it's how you've built it. You've shown that leadership can have energy, that it can have presence, that it can be felt. That growth isn't just about numbers, it's about people, it's about pride, it's about creating something that others want to be a part of. And through your work with the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce, you haven't just elevated an organization, you've helped elevate an entire region. You've helped shape the identity, the confidence, and the momentum of the Lehigh Valley. That's impact and that's legacy. Thank you for your leadership, your authenticity, and for showing us that it's not just about leading, it's about showing up boldly and unapologetically. And to our listeners, this is what Trailblazers is all about. You can catch this episode on WDIY 88.1 FM or stream it anytime on your favorite podcast platform. Until next time, keep leading with purpose, keep showing up with presence, and keep blazing your own trail.
Thanks so much. Beautiful.